Hey, got the morning show with Aaron in the studio. I've got John Lawson. Morning, John.
Kia ora, good morning. Well, dull morning, but...
It's windy.
Yeah, so I noticed that.
Yeah, blow the cobwebs out. Yeah, well, you would have blown up the street.
No, backwards. Now, that's my excuse for being late.
You were exactly on time. You normally arrive at 10 past, I noticed. And then we continued playing music while I frantically tried to prepare for the show, for the interview, for the chat. So we are going to go through the whole year's stuff. We're going to briefly have a look at... some recent stuff that John wanted to bring to our attention. What was that, John?
I got my rates bill and it seemed to be very high, so all our rates have gone up, and I noticed on it that 38.2% of my rates are going to transport. So,
is that a surprise?
It's not a surprise, it's just that I'm not sure that everybody realises how much we pay to keep the cars on the road. So,
a lot.
We keep hearing about subsidies for people on trains and buses and ferries and such like, but there's an awful lot more goes to pay subsidies to keep cars on the road.
Yeah, it is effectively a subsidy. As the driver, when you fill up, when you look at your car cost, you don't put in the amount of money spent on the roads, but in actual fact, out of our taxes and our rates, obviously quite a bit as well. Yep, and, so but you can't avoid paying
it's
those.
It's well over a third of my rates that go to pay for your car.
Yeah, well, but I mean, the bus has still got to the road, use the road, doesn't it? And you do use the bus and your bike, but probably...
And the bus is subsidised, so, yeah. And that comes out of that, but it's only a tiny proportion of that. And we rarely see how much of a proportion it is. It's probably about 2% of that, so...
Yeah,
36% goes to cars and 2.2% probably to public transport.
Yeah, we could get really deep in the weeds there, but yeah, it's significant to remember how much... Should we move on to the housing workshop? What did you pick up out of that, John? The council's just had a workshop.
It's interesting to see that housing is on the council's agenda for being discussed.
Yes.
We never get to see the minutes of these, unlike the council meetings, although the Ombudsman a month or two ago said they should be publishing minutes from workshops as well. I've still got a complaint in with the Ombudsman to try and get that done. So we don't actually know what the council decided on this, but some interesting figures in there, and a table that was presented to council for this workshop, showing, for example, that Raglan has a 7% turnover of housing each year, so all those for sale signs that you see, about 7% of Raglan has those on each year. Also, the number of houses which are not occupied generally, so that's around about 38%, and the number of houses which are, or the rent increase rather, since the 2018 census, so over the last 5 years. Rents have gone up by 63%, which seems a pretty huge jump, given that inflation has been pretty small generally over those last 5 years. It's picked up in the last year or two.
But we were expecting that. Where's the column for unoccupied houses? I'm trying to look at the same thing John's looking at, but it's a barrage of information.
I realise it's on a different one. Sorry about that.
Oh, yep. So it's not there. Okay, I want to go back to. I want to go back to median sale price. Ours is the second highest. Raglan is now the second highest. After Tamahere, which is famous for being that's where a lot of very wealthy people live.
Also, if you look at the
maybe not
size.
Very define very wealthy and wealthy, but definitely Tamahere is known for its lifestyle blocks and well off people.
If you look at the median land size, then there's a big difference between Raglan's 814 and Tamahere's 7,000.
Yeah, that is it all lifestyle blocks in Tamahere.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. So the median size of a house in Tamahere is 7,000.
So you'd expect theirs to cost more anyway because they've got a large parcel of land with them.
Yes.
Yeah, so that would make ours, certainly for land size.
I assume those are square metres, but they don't actually say.
So basically we are the most expensive place to live in the district now. The most expensive place to buy a house. Let's be accurate with our language.
Also that our rents have gone up by 63%. But we have
over what period?
Since 2018, 5 years.
68% over 5 years. That feels about right, yes.
What, about 11, 12% a year?
Yeah, and there were, messages on the notice board all the time, regular notice board Facebook page about people looking for houses, and a couple of people just I saw said they're having to move to Hamilton because they can't get anywhere. So long-time Raglan residents.
On the other hand, if you're a landlord, then you shouldn't be looking to Raglan to make your fortune. You ought to be looking to Huntley, because you get a 5.7% return in Huntley and only a 3.9% return in Raglan.
Over the previous few years. That, who knows what the future holds.
But, of course, capital gains, all that is the main thing, because you actually pay tax on your rental, whereas you don't pay tax on your capital gain.
So, yeah, so it's interesting. The council is definitely, they know there's a housing crisis. There's no denial about that. And there hasn't been since even when the previous mayor was in power, near the end of his term, he'd become aware of that.
Well, we set up an affordable housing group way back in 2006. Even then we were noticing it was a problem, and it's just got worse ever since.
It was a problem when I went to buy a house, me and my wife went to buy a house in 2000. Prices were beyond what they had been even then, in the 90s. Well, basically, I mean, it's the result of neoliberalism and the loosening up of regulations and things like that. So it's the roots of it begin in 1984. They first started showing in the 90s, and we forget that because the 90s seemed like a great time to buy a house, and it was compared to today, but it still was higher than it had been for generations.
Yep.
Anyway.
And in generations past, there used to be council houses and state houses. So.
Yeah, well, they distort the market, John. Don't you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do.
Yeah. So, which is exactly what we want, in reality. Okay, so, but we don't have anything other than the council taking this seriously. We don't know what decisions they're making. Is that what you've told us?
I'll say they got this paper, and what they made of it, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the problem is, as your interview with Lisa on Friday emphasised, councils haven't got any spare money. In fact, just the opposite.
Yeah.
They don't know where the next dollar's coming from.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get on with. We've now got 40 minutes to do our whole end of year wrap up, and let's start. Right, we start back because today is the 12th of December. Doing an end of year wrap up, so there are things that happen later in December, and we've got those first of all from 2022, and one dead after serious crash near Raglan on State Highway 23. So that was a year ago, and I've just gone through the list. There's an awful lot of crashing on State Highway 23, John.
Yes.
So this is that, and it's, so I guess it's appropriate. That's not quite the word I'm looking for, but that's the first story.
They were looking to reduce the speed limit to 80.
Yes.
Because it is a dangerous road, and it was built basically in the 1880s. And when you had a stagecoach which took all day to get from Hamilton to Raglan, then your worst disaster was the stagecoach turned over in a muddy patch. But
yes.
And now we've got vehicles which are not taking all day to get from Hamilton to Raglan. The impact when you crash at 100 in something else which is doing 100 is quite serious.
So you could take the bus alternatively, but our next article says persistent driver shortage impacting bus services, drivers' pay increase. So the regional council was forced to find more money to pay their drivers, who are chronically underpaid, like a lot of people in our country these days. So,
which they have done, and they're gradually recruiting more drivers. But even at best, we only have 4 buses a day. And in fact, the bus driver shortage never affected us here, because they cut the buses in Hamilton rather than the less frequent buses to places like Raglan.
Yeah, although we missed out on having our internal bus service start for the summer, and driver shortages was one of the factors.
Yes.
and that also, the regional council was not a big deal to them, I suspect.
And as we discussed last time, it's not at all certain that we're going to get one at all.
No, it's a bit of a worry. We're not really, looking at the funding situation with that. MPs' emails show pattern of personal attacks on ministry. So is this about our National Party MP, Barbara Kuriga, trying to protect her son, who was investigated for mistreatment of animals on their farm. And
it surprised me that didn't come up more during the election, because we had one of the candidates opposed to her who spelled out very clearly all the background to that and said he'd lost confidence in her as a result, and that's why he was standing. But
who was that?
Bill Burr, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard through the grapevine that he wasn't a great candidate himself.
It depends where the grapevine started. If you can attack the ministry, you can attack other candidates as well.
Anyway, yeah. So as Barbara Gurig is an interesting combination because they've also got a trial regenerative agriculture farm, which is a great thing, I think. But being mean, cruel rather to your animals is not.
Yeah, I was interested that she didn't get a ministerial position, which I thought she was probably going to retain there. Conservation Ministry spokesperson. Well,
maybe that's why. Because it's poor judgment to try to protect your family in a way that where you get found out. Right? It's not poor judgment to try to protect your family.
But to use your position as an MP.
I think it's not the ethics that were the problem. It's the fact that she got caught out was the problem. I'm speaking on behalf of the National Party now, which I shouldn't be. Moving on, full approval for 3 Whangaroa projects and first round of Better Off funding. So this was the government giving some cash to councils that were going to go along with the 3 water scheme that never happened, although it won't be happening. But we did get some money, and $3 million went to the Western Wharf Walkway, which has been constructed as we speak, John.
I've not been down there for a week or two.
I was there yesterday. It definitely been constructed as we speak. Old School got money for a lift, which it still hasn't put in yet, but I think it's happening in the new year sometime. And the bowling club got a bit of irrigation, $9,000.
Okay. it did seem odd the way that funding was allocated. And we've just been talking about housing, and that seems to me to be the main problem. And yet money doesn't go to that.
The trouble with these government funding things is they have to be done in a rush so that the parliamentarians, the politicians can say, look, we did this. And so you have to have projects that are already half ready to go.
But as you say, they're still not finished even now, a year on.
No, to be honest, John, I'm actually kind of impressed that, with knowing how slowly things work, that they actually should be pretty much ready for Christmas. It's full approval for 3 I just read that. Big crowd back for Raglan New Year's Eve parade, yes, and it's on again this year. That's all I want to say about that. Transformation of Whangaroa Wharf boosted.
It's better weather than they had on Sunday for the Christmas in near a street.
Often rains on the Christmas in the park events.
Well, Roger did say he was praying.
Not very well then. 4 discharged from Waikato Hospital after group pulled from the water in a Raglan rescue. So this is the 29th of December last year. Near drowning, Marine Parade, about 3:25 p.m. I don't even remember that one.
Unfortunately, our news seems to be full of people who are drowning and people who have been killed in car crashes, and that's too many of them this year and most years.
Yeah, and this next story, a particularly sad one. Diesel spill reported before crash that claimed the life of early childhood teacher. So that was the 21st of December. Yeah, that's just a sad one. And were they working out at Tomato School? I can't quite remember. It was on between Tomato Road and Wrights Road. Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, lives in Tomato and was teaching in Raglan.
Yeah. Back to politics. Anti-democratic complaints after regional council committee chairs selected. So the new regional council leader, Pamela Storey. There had been a lot of personal attacks and viciousness in the previous regional council, and it looked like it was going to keep going in the new one. But I think that's the last story about that. I think they've settled down, or they've taken their squabbles out of the media, at the very least.
Yes.
Do you have anything to add to that?
There used to be quite full minutes done by the regional council, but they've been condensed quite a lot, so I'm not sure whether that's to hide the squabbles or whether it's just to save on paper or administration or something.
Well, we'd expect debate and we'd expect disagreement, but personal abuse, I think, was a bit of an issue. There were complaints about that previously. Here we go. Here's the first of a series of headlines you're going to love. Hardy holiday makers happy to just hunker down as rain rolls in. So January the 3rd, and already the first sign of the wet summer. Here we go, another one. Raglan spinal injury highlights dangers of swimming alone. A 19-year-old was flown to hospital after help from lifeguards. A woman was swimming with 2 friends and hit her head after being struck by a wave. Why was the headline swimming alone when there were 2 friends there?
Don't know.
There, we haven't got much information about that, but another unfortunate incident in the water. And again, groups of 13 and 16 rescued at Raglan on Saturday during weekend of water incidents. So, yeah, Aranui Beach had two mass rescues on this article's from January the 22nd. So, yeah, it's not the safest beach, is it, John?
Well, it's not like the beach and the bar and Papa Nui Point, and there's quite a few danger points around the coast.
So. Yeah, Papa Nui Point will be featuring later on in the year's read-through. Teens hitchhiked to festival after four-hour shuttle delay. So there were lots of problems with Sound Splash last year, getting people to Sound Splash and then waiting on the airfield for long times.
And every year we hear assurances that it's going to be sorted out, and we have got the assurance that half of them are coming on buses from Auckland and Hamilton this year. So.
There have been substantial changes made to this year, and half of the people, the buses come from Auckland and Hamilton direct to the site, so they didn't even go to the airfield.
I suggested it a few years ago and was told it was impossible, so it's good to see it happening.
You were wrong then, John, but not now. Also, there's a big water tank on the site, and more internal buses and Raglan will be here. But there'll be less cars on the road with half the attendees of the festival arriving on those buses, which will be great. My next item, John, is Surf Beach car park near Raglan, now a gully after heavy rain. Is that the one down Ruapuki, down by Ruapuki?
Yes, that was repaired several months later, so it is available again now.
So that's January the 31st, that item. So that was is that the Auckland holiday weekend?
Yeah, that was when Auckland got hit.
That's when I got trapped in Wellsford overnight.
And when Port Waikato got cut off,
So the next headline, slip continues consuming Cambray Road. And heavy rain causes slip in Cambray Road. Same weather event.
And we still had Cyclone Gabrielle coming up as well.
Yeah, and cracks appear in road in State Highway 23. So that article was on January the 31st. I remember driving... I drove into Hamilton that day, and I saw the cracks, and when I came back, I came roaring around the corner, as you do it, and suddenly found myself, I had a trailer as well for good measure, and the road had slipped, like, I don't know, about 20 centimetres down between going to Hamilton and coming back again, and there was cars coming the other way, so I couldn't go out into the other lane, so I kind of got half the car out of the slip and half of it in. So, yeah.
You managed not to turn the trailer over.
Yeah, it wasn't that, like at that point it wasn't that bad, it was just a little freaky, but I just kept going. Momentum got me through, but pretty soon after that they had to close that lane.
And then, now this morning's news is that the motorway past Narawaia is also in a similar state of getting lots of corrugations in it because it was built on peatland and they didn't put a proper foundation under it.
This is the trouble with the peatland. Like, they will have tried to. It's not like they would have just turned up and thrown some gravel on a field. Like, they would have tried really hard to get that right, but the peat's really difficult. But back to effects of the rain around the end of January. Treated wastewater discharge into Raglan Harbour during incoming tide. So we've just had that recently. It was happening at the start of the year. Recently it was because of technical issues that shouldn't have happened. Start of the year was because too much water, too much rain, and it's going to happen every time it rains, isn't it, John?
Yeah, well, I've got resource consent to do it that way, but not to have technical failures.
Yeah, you're just not supposed to have technical failures. Crews work from each end to clear Whanga roads 1st of February, so slips and dropouts on roads in and around Raglan have stopped and restricted access all over the shop. That's my summary.
In particular, the main road, which of course got blocked for over a month.
Yeah, well, I haven't even found that headline yet. February the 4th, work to start next week on fixing Cambray Road. State Highway 23, Raglan slip repairs, 3rd of February.
Yeah, and they got that done remarkably quickly on Cambray Road and put those big sort of concrete Lego blocks in.
Yeah, so that should be sweet for the foreseeable future. It will get slips elsewhere. We also got that slip. I don't think there's a headline, but there's that slip... just very close to there on the coast. How do we locate that? If you go down to the water at Lorenz and Bay and turn left, you can see the slip very clearly. Someone lost a little bit of their land up there.
Oh, yeah, in Cox's Bay.
Yeah.
On the edge of Cox's Bay and Lorenz and Bay. Yeah.
So the repairs started around early February. Well, they started as quick as they could in NZTA. We now call them NZTA, don't we? Not Waka Kotahi. They... stand by for further changes over the years, but they did work really hard to get the road open. Detour road was via Waingaro and Narawahia. That's the official detour, but locals knew about other detours a long way to Turner Valley Roads and...
And the Old Mountain Road as well.
Yeah, but there were a lot of complaints from the Old Mountain Road residents about dangerous driving. But
people still carried on using it.
In fact, it was officially closed as a through road, but still people kept going.
Well, people just went past the closed sign, yeah. including me.
Oh, did you, John? You don't? Do you drive a car?
No, cycling.
You were cycling. Well, that's all right. That's not nearly so dangerous.
I chatted to the farmer at the top who told me it was still an ongoing problem. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, recently?
No, back was it May, I think? I've forgotten when it was quite.
I just mentioned this. There's continuing discussions from the community board meeting about the Manu Bay breakwater wall, and it's been delayed and delayed and delayed. And this year the delays have been because we think that the consultants are busy fixing all the broken roads and things from the storms at the start of the year. So I just mentioned that.
And also there's an estimate in the long-term plan that it's probably going to cost something like $2 million. So that's another reason to delay it, especially if there's a shortage of money for everything else.
Yeah, for the long-term plan, we've seen what's kind of the staff wish list. They're like, if we're going to do this, here's how we do it. And now the councillors have to decide what to prune out from the wish list because there simply isn't the money for everything. Waikato Hot Springs swamped with cleanup to take weeks, February the 14th. Waikato District declares state of emergency, February the 13th. John, these are not all in perfect order. Work underway to repair Cambrai Road dropout, February the 8th. Alliance continues work on Cambrai repair. Road worker killed after being struck by a truck on State Highway 23. That was very sad. And they stopped the work for a day there.
Well, every death is very sad, but I mean, we're killing more or less one person a day on the roads across the country.
Yeah. All the roads to Raglan were closed. Well, possibly all. Lots of them were. The official detour via Waingaro was closed February the 14th. And flooding, trees down. In fact, there were flooding and trees down all across the district. Is that the Cyclone Gabrielle weekend? February the 14th?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and council prioritised our roads to get people out of Raglan, which was good of them. Rates up by 5.8%, over three times higher than budgeted.
Yeah, that's what we started off talking about. The rates have gone up.
Yeah, and that was probably because of all the work. Well, no, that's still as the flooding's happening, but maybe they already... No. Oh, hold on, stop.
Well, that's the...
Why can't a regional council... That's okay. The regional council rates.
Because they were all affected by the flooding events and by inflation as well, because we've had inflation ever since the Ukraine war started.
Right.
Which tends to have dropped into the background in the news recently, but still affecting oil prices and they affect everything else.
Well, we also had supply shortages after COVID as well, then the Ukraine war, so the external inflation was pretty powerful. Waka Kotahi says vital State Highway 23 into Raglan open by the end of the month. And they did pretty much do that. They made that temporary road. It took about a month, didn't it?
Yeah, I still don't understand why they did it that way rather than doing a much rougher, quicker job.
That's what they decided to do. Council asked drivers not to use Old Mountain Road for the reasons we just discussed. Work underway again on Whangaroa Raglan Wharf projects from March the 3rd. So the boat ramp was temporarily closed to deliver a 12-ton barge. So that was barge used to make the pontoon?
Yes.
Right.
So we've had work on both sides of the wharf this year, on the furthest from the town side to build the pontoon and on the nearest to town side to build the steps.
Yeah. March the 4th, Raglan Hamilton... opens State Highway 23 opens early. Basically, they as soon as they could, they opened it. It was like halfway through the day.
But also, they're still working on it. So.
Yes, but now they're going slower because there's no rush just to tidy up. Also, somebody wrote a 23-page children's story called Earl's Corner about the cat that appeared in photos. Lots of photos from the local residents on the divvy who was taking photos every day and putting them on the notice board for people to see what was happening. And the cat became a favourite. The public places bylaw was reviewed in March. John, I don't want to talk about that.
not a lot changed in it. But my irritation with these bylaws is there's a huge amount in them, and even the council staff don't seem to be totally sure what's in them. So particularly I notice on the dog rules that they, some of the no dog signs don't fit with where the no dog rules are.
Yeah.
And the same goes for all these other bylaws. They seem to be there for council staff to apply them when they feel like it. And I just wonder if they actually pick on people. Because there is supposed to be a rule about not parking on the grass, and yet they only seem to apply it about a dozen times a year, and every day people are parking all over bits of grass all over the district.
Yeah, well, it's probably there's too many things to ping. Traffic bylaw, Cliff Street is a one-way street officially these
days.
Well,
they say so. They've never had a hearing into it. So,
not officially?
There's still an awful lot of people go the wrong way down it.
Semi-officially.
Including my daughter, who forgot.
Well, yeah. What are you going to do? The Performance and Strategy Committee meeting, 13th of Feb, Council has resolved to look to advance the return of the Raglan Airfield to the rightful owners. And they said at the time that it was going to be a complicated process and because of the legalities, and they didn't even know exactly how that would work. I don't know what those are, but they're still doing it, aren't they, John? We had this discussion online the other day.
Yeah. All we can say is we don't understand why it's taking so long, because you could have bought and sold a piece of land several times in the time it's taking them to transfer one strip of airfield from a willing owner to who wants to get rid of it to a willing acceptor who wants to have it back again.
I know there's confusions, like it's department. It's that land has sort of been overseen by the Department of Conservation as well, so. And that's all. And that's the only little thing I know. I've been aware it's complicated. Anyway, that will eventually happen.
Yeah, it puzzles me. It's all going on in secret rather than getting progress reports.
True. We could ask for a progress report. The Raglan Wharf, the new gangway is installed. So that's the new pontoon and gangway. So that's 28th of March. Geosynthetic reinforced retaining wall coming soon to State Highway 23. So that's how they're holding the hillside together so the road doesn't slip anymore. So that was just a promise that they were going to do it. John, bus patronage down 13th of March, this article, from 20,000 to 15,000 at some point in 2022. Why was that?
Well, this was the lockdowns, wasn't it, I think?
Oh, okay, all right.
And the public transport throughout the world dived during the lockdowns, and most parts of the world it's back above its previous levels, but in this country it's still not.
Okay, this is a report from March about wastewater discharges on the 29th of January. Okay, we've mentioned that. One person injured in a Raglan crash.
The injuries are even more than the number of people who die.
This was
not surprising.
This was on Ngaranui Beach Road. Well, I thought it was not State Highway 23 for once. That's quite rare to have. We do have crashes in Raglan, but they're much rarer than on State Highway 23. What else have we got?
If you look at the crash map, then there's crashes all over the place. So,
but that's for over what period?
Over the last 20 years.
Yeah. There are, like, all in town. Some of them are like bumper-to-bumper things, though, aren't they?
They've got different coloured dots. A black dot indicates a death. Red indicates a serious injury. And then there's an awful lot more, which are blue and yellow, which are lesser crashes.
On April the 18th, they were promising that the full restoration of State Highway 23 was nearing completion. A court orders fines for a highly careless farmer, Te Koranui Farms Limited, somewhere out near Tamata, as I recall, yes, discharging dairy effluent into streams. A flagrant breach of the rules, I seem to remember that one.
Yes, and it surprises me that it couldn't make out whether it was a lack of caring or just a lack of care. These things seem to happen, and regional council publicise them from time to time, but they still carry on happening. So presumably it's rather like any crime. You assume you're going to get away with it and you're not going to get punished.
Yeah, well, most farmers are not trying to get away with things, but obviously plenty.
Well, most aren't, but occasional ones are, like
plenty,
that one.
plenty still are, yeah. Here's another headline about State Highway 23. One person dead after two-vehicle crash near Whatawhata. Then I'm just going to go with the headline there.
Yeah, it's another of those main road crashes.
Yeah, election results. Of the 34,000 electors on the final electoral roll, I think this is relating to the local body election last year. 17,000 of the 54,000, 17,500 returned their vote. This represents a disappointing 32.3%, and compares to the previous election of 34.4%, which was slightly better.
Yeah, so once again, Waikato District was right down at the bottom on its polling turnout.
Down the bottom compared to other districts. The national average is 45%, yeah, which is still not great.
And we're consistently below a third.
That's interesting. The national average actually rose between 2019 and 2022, but we went down. We do our best here in Raglan. We were either the highest or the second highest turnout per ward.
In the district.
Yep. Yeah, in the district, yes.
It's a bad district, a good area to be in Raglan.
In May, Well Energy were out at the community board saying we want to put a new EV charger on Waller Street near the hardware store there, and the community board was like, that's going to be a disaster, don't put it there, put it over somewhere else. Did we ever get us somewhere else? Did we ever get us somewhere else?
Well, they did agree on Stewart Street eventually, but I've not seen any sign of it happening there and not heard any more since.
Okay.
So maybe they...
Well, what did happen, though, is they upgraded the power of the one beside us here. I'm now pointing, folks, away from the microphone. The EV
next
charger by the town
hall. Between the town hall and the Plunkett room.
Yeah, yeah, you can now charge two cars at a time instead of one. So maybe that was their solution.
Well, you always could charge two cars, but they had to have different sockets.
Ah, okay. So now it is...
Now maybe they're interchangeable sockets, I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe that was their solution in the end. Here we go again. One person injured after a car rolls down a bank near Raglan. And...
Yeah, because part of the problem with the main road is that we've got pretty much double the traffic on it that we had 20 years ago. So we had about 2,500 vehicles a day 20 years ago, but now we've got over 5,000 vehicles a day. And the more vehicles you've got, the more chance there is that you're going to crash into one of them if something goes wrong.
At the end of April, the headline, the highway between Hamilton and Raglan, ready to reopen. The May the 6th headline was about the Whangaroa Hoi. That's the Wakaama here in Whangaroa. Every year that gets bigger. 114 waka with 663 paddlers.
Yeah, it's one of the few events that seems to be carrying on because we're losing the Karioi event this year and we lost the cycle event, was it last year or the year before? So.
Yeah, true. Water supply improvement project starts in Raglan. So you might remember the difficulty driving down the main road earlier in the year. Here's another crash. One dead after crash involving cyclist on State Highway 23 on outskirts of Hamilton. Probably not anyone from our community, but not good. It's State Highway 23 again. Sustainability and Wellbeing Committee in May heard that the Raglan accommodation, including Airbnb, was frequently booked out. I'm just mentioning that because that's the housing crisis again. The policy bylaw changes. Staff to investigate options around Mr. Dennis Amor's submission regarding boat ramp charges in Raglan. Did they come through, John?
Well, they may come through in the next long-term plan. I've not seen any mention of them, but I don't think they've discussed the fees and charges yet, so that may be still to come.
Okay. Funding secured to complete Raglan's Town to Surf cycleway, so that's the footpath that goes all the way out to Wainui Bush Park.
Well, bits of it do, yes.
Isn't it connected up fully yet, John?
Well, we've been talking about the bit down the bottom of Bow Street, which they're planning to do early next year.
That's like the last bit.
Not quite, no. Oh. There's a bit across the aerodrome bridge. That's not been done.
Can they do that?
It's a wide road, so they could either put a clip on the outside of it or they could take part of the road.
Are they going to do that?
Well, who knows what they're going to do? They never tell us what they're going to do. They did claim that they consulted when they were designing it, because that's part of the conditions for getting the funding for it. But I've not found anyone who's been consulted.
They consulted the soccer club because it was going through the soccer fields.
Okay, maybe that was a consultation.
I can't comment about anything else, but I do know about that. Anyway, that was funded from the government. 18,000 dune and wetland plants for West Coast beaches. Coast Care Waikato have been working hard all year, right up to a couple of weekends ago. New fence at the Raglan camp for security reasons, I think. Really annoying, though, that fence to the soccer teams, because there's like two gates along the whole length of them. So every time the ball goes over the fence, it's quite a hike to get it back.
And you weren't consulted about that?
I don't know, because I'm not involved with soccer anymore.
maybe it needs a high fence over it, so balls don't go over the top of it.
They'll have to be super high, especially beside the adult pitch. The bus survey, John, there was a bus survey in June. The most, was it the main proposal? Is to increase weekend buses from two a day. Do you remember this bus survey? I'm sure you do. You love your buses.
Well, this was one that the community board did, and they were they got a fair number of responses to it, and on the basis of that, they were going to go ahead with the local bus. But as we've been discussing, that seems to have got bound up in the, first of all, in the driver shortage. Well, even before that, it got bound up in nothing happening, because and they have had this in the long-term plan at 100,000 a year for the last 3 years, but nothing's happened, and now there's a proposal to roll it forward into the next long-term plan, and the question mark over whether they can afford it. So,
okay, yeah, so there you are. We're not anywhere in particular, actually.
It was a survey that may not have led to anything.
Yeah. Next headline, community legend missing from Raglan, police asking for help. So a 64-year-old man missing, and...
I've not heard any more about that, so... But there's occasional people go missing and you never hear any more, so
Peter
who
Hogg.
Knows what happens.
Somebody about that age... apologies for my lack of knowledge about this, but someone around that age did die this year. So...
A few people around that age die. It's a popular age for dying, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but no, it wasn't expected to. And I'm aware, sadly, that there are a few suicides in Raglan as well this year.
Which have been discussed in various forums and attempts made to reduce the number.
Yeah.
It's been an ongoing problem in Raglan for many years now. And there have been occasional attempts to try and reduce it, but how effective they are, you don't know how many there would have been but for them, so it's very hard to tell.
Yeah, true. Back with the headlines, the new wharf pontoon opened on the 17th of June. I drove past early in the morning and saw them out there, and it was very cold and windy, so I didn't get out and join them for the opening. What else have we got? Raglan boat capsize results in conviction. So there was a spectacular capsize of a boat caught on the surf cam last year, and the skipper, Maurice Cole Johnson, was convicted of causing unnecessary danger. Why on earth he decided to go out that day, or they decided to go out that day, we don't know. But not only did he injure his mates and himself and damage his boat, but then he got fined on top of it as well.
And the Coast Guard had to go and rescue the boat a month or two later.
Where did it end up?
It ended up on the rocks near in between Manu Bay and Naranui Beach.
Actually, there really was only one place for it to go at that point, wasn't it? That's the, yeah, with those waves driving in. Cats banned in major Raglan development of 550 properties. That'll be Rangatahi. A cat-free zone.
Yeah. Well, they decided that they were going to try and make Rangatahi as environmentally friendly as possible. Unfortunately, they ignored the amount of energy that goes into levelling out all the earth there. But apart from that, yeah, they've tried to plant trees and maintain the archaeological remains and generally make it an attractive place with walkways and cycleways. But, being cat-free is one of the things that some people who were buying there didn't realise it, and they ended up having to resell their house because they wanted to have somewhere where they could have cats.
Either sell the house or sell the cat.
Yes.
Yeah. So they made. Yeah, they took that decision.
And okay. I don't know how they're going to enforce it at the end of the day.
Well, things like that's a covenant, isn't it?
Yes.
I think the other residents have to group together and take legal action against the resident who's not obeying the covenant. I have a feeling. I've heard that.
Maybe that wouldn't happen.
I heard that. Yeah. Well, that's do you really want to do that? Anyway. Take it slow on the road from Raglan to Hamilton. In July, Waka Kotahi advises State Highway 23 will have a temporary speed limit fixing up a slip again. Where was this slip? I can't keep up, John.
Well, I think that was the slip we've been talking about. So it did have a 50 speed limit over it for quite a while.
Okay.
In fact, I think, has it still got it? I can't remember.
I can't keep up. So first the road was closed, then they made a temporary road, and then after a month, then after 2 months, they got the actual road back together, and then since then they've been repairing the work they did and rebuilding the land that they took from the adjacent farm. So it's been permanent action there. A closure of a notorious fishing spot near Raglan, not viable despite deaths. This is Department of Conservation saying that. So this is Papua Nui Point. Just don't go there.
Yep.
That's. I mean, I don't fish, and I haven't been fishing there. All I see is these headlines constantly of people being swept into the water, and.
And it's been happening ever since Raglan became at all popular. So you can look back in papers past and search for Papua Nui Point, and you'll find it going way back to even pre-war days.
But if you are going to go there, spend like. Obviously, people are going, oh, I'll see what the waves are like. But you've got to watch for a long time to check out what those occasional rogue waves, what size they are and what they're going to do before you go down to the point. I think if you are going to go, take that on board, spend a good amount of time. And I don't even know what that length of time is, John, but it's more than 5 minutes.
You probably need to watch for at least half an hour to see what it's doing and whether it's going up or down.
Yeah, all that sort of thing. Okay. That's the same article. I hope that's the same article.
Probably not fish there. Find somewhere safer to fish.
Yeah.
But it's a great point to go and look at because it's quite spectacular out there. But I certainly wouldn't like to spend a long time on those rocks and be looking at a fish rather than looking at what the waves are doing.
So into August, it was resolved that the Ngaranui Beach toilets would be removed and relocated to Sunset Beach.
They've gone, but I don't think they've gone Sunset Beach because that also had its erosion problems.
Oh, Port Waikato. Yeah, so that's because of erosion on it. But yeah, they've had worse erosion up there. They've had houses, very unhappy landowners up there, basically losing their homes. Playground replacement happened at Wallace Street. Yes, it did. That'll be important for the under fives. Raglan remains out of reach for renters, says this article on August the 21st.
That's that 68% increase that we were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah. And also just a lack of houses too. Work starts soon on new walkway for western side of Raglan Wharf, so that's the work that's just about finished now.
So how long's it taken?
That's all right, John. That's fine, actually, for a project. Like, I used to work in the building industry. I'm not that upset about how that project's gone in terms of its speed. You have to get resource consent. You have to tender the work, find a contractor, negotiate with the contractor, then they have to fit it in their schedule. So I don't think it's been that bad.
It's probably been one of the quickest, though, hasn't it? I was thinking in terms of how quick it was rather than how slow it was.
Oh, I see. You weren't criticising
of what can be done.
I see. Sorry, I thought I had to come to the defence, but you're actually agreeing it was quite fast. Yeah, body located off coast of Raglan again. Is this the same one? This is August.
I think there were two people lost, but then they located one body and they didn't, as far as I know, they never located the other one.
Yeah, so we're just going through the headlines, folks, for 2023 if you've just tuned in. Wonder why we're talking about this. Sewerage still not compliant. So the council's still non-compliant for total suspended solids. So that, not to do with what we want to do with the future plans, not to do with accidental releases into the incoming tide.
This is why they're spending the best part of $2 million on putting in a new MBR filter, a bioreactor membrane.
Yes, a fancy machine that will make the water very clean.
It needs to be cleaned up because the problem is they rely on killing off bacteria using an ultraviolet machine, and ultraviolet rays won't go through dirty water.
If there's solids in it, yeah. Just like you can't see through the water, the UV can't go through either. Uh-huh. Yeah, so Lisa Thompson reported that they've got a new one at Metamedi, and the staff member there, opened the tap. He let the output run into his hands and washed his hands in it. So
yep.
That's an indication.
Which reminds me, in a couple
drinkable.
Of days' time, we have got a video meeting talking about the sewage scheme and how it's going, so there should be an update there.
Yes, that's true.
And you asked me about the video link, and it is the same as the one we had in previous videos. So if people have got those, or hopefully it might appear on the radio website.
Yeah, you'll put it on the Whangarau Environmental Defence Facebook page?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I only got confirmation this morning that it was the same.
Okay, I tried it yesterday, and it said it wasn't right, but I guess the meeting wasn't running, so... Anyway, back to the headlines. Blue Float Energy in September said, yes, we're going to do an offshore wind farm, and they've had a community meeting about it since where people can have their say, but I don't think there's much we can do to stop that one. A fisherman who railed against dolphin rules is prosecuted for fishing in a protected zone. Waikato commercial fisherman Warwick Lloyd Harris, age 52, was fined $14,000 in Hamilton. He sounds like a man I couldn't have any sympathy for. Demolition of mobile garage started in September, so that's gone.
And still don't know what's going to replace it?
Well, a fence with grass, John, is what's there at the moment. This is another situation where that land will eventually be handed back to the rightful owners, I think, based on Waitangi Tribunal utterances. So at the moment, council works with those future and past, you know, past and to become future landowners. They work together to try to work out what to do. So it could take a while to be resolved.
To demolish it and then not know what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, well, that's why, because there's multiple people involved with running the land. Raglan Kaimoana off the menu due to high paralytic shellfish toxins. We get this every year. The Raglan Trial Service, what's that for? Raglan Bus. Well, we've already talked about that. We're not sure what's happening, but it's certainly not happening this summer. Raglan's Dogman remembered fondly by the community. So Brian, who was always seen with his Alsatian, and the community had helped fund him a camper van to live in, or a van to live in, he passed away, and a funeral was held. Sort of a local identity, because everyone knew who he was.
Yep.
I'm just looking for things to talk about.
Did you ever see how many hours a day he walked? He always seemed to be out.
Permanently walking. Raglan man rescued after going overboard during fishing trip. These are really constant, aren't they? There's trouble out to sea.
Oh, this was somebody coming over the bar, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was another problem later on with the charter boat that's still covered in a tarpaulin sitting near the wharf.
Mm-mm. Now, I think we're into the area that I didn't... John, we're just going to keep going. We're into October.
We've got 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We've got 2 months to do in 10 seconds.
Well, we'll just keep going. We'll try and do it fast. But I've also got to the bit of it where I haven't filtered out all the stuff I don't want to talk about yet. So it's going to be even more difficult. You'll like this one, though. Council's given dressing down by Chief Ombudsman for holding workshops behind closed doors.
That's what I was mentioning earlier. Yes.
Yeah. So all the councils should have taken that on board, but John feels our one hasn't. We know because with that housing workshop where there's no minutes from it. One dead in crash on State Highway 23 on October the 29th near Whatawhata. Two vehicle crash. They just keep happening. It was when we do this end of year wrap up, you realise how often it happens.
Yeah, well, also, as I say, when you look at the crash map, and there's black dots, unfortunately, along most of the divvy.
Yeah.
The divvy is the safest part of State Highway 23. Because people are actually going quite slowly and being quite careful there.
Yeah, it's the sort of place you'd be careful, yeah.
That surprises me that there aren't any crashes as a result of people overtaking on blind bends. But
so, moving on, sorry to be, it feels rude to move on some of these topics, but Papahua joint management proposal, so there's going to be a joint management agreement between Tangata Whenua and the council for
which is confirming what we were told last July, but not the July 2023, but July 2022.
So, and that's based on the land being returned as well, I think. Uh-huh. Am I right about that?
That's my understanding. But as I say, we're not getting any progress reports, so it's hard to say what is happening.
Yeah, because theoretically the land could be returned and the rightful owners could say, well, everyone get off, we're doing what we want with this. But I don't think they're taking that approach at all. I think they want to... But the implication of a joint management agreement is they want to maintain the public facilities there. But many things yet to be decided. $500,000 was allocated to the town hall during year two of the financial year. Of the current long-term plan.
We still need to pray there's no earthquake because we're still sitting under a beam.
I know. There's an earthquake. I'm going to dive under this bridge. It's the parapet walls actually that worry me. I'm going to dive under this desk, which is as big as a bridge. I don't know where you're going though, John.
Out the window.
Yeah, would be the safest. Well, the parapet could fall out. It could fall in. Yeah. Moving on. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. District Council previously fined over Raglan sewage spills. So this is just a speculative article. Is the council going to be fined by the regional council for the sewage spills we've had recently? Probably, but it's up to the regional council to decide, and they're still doing an investigation. The mayor has apologised for Raglan's wastewater issues. Again, police confirm dad of four, Thomas Wahanga, died in crash near
that's
Raglan.
That's the news you were just talking about, so that was confirmation of who it was.
Okay, but, so that's not another one. It's the same one. Okay, yeah, and that, yeah. That was a very sad one. A lot of people in the community affected by that.
And as usual, the regional council's monitoring the water quality around the area, and mostly it's good for swimming, despite all the pollution that goes into it.
Except we have had some alarming test results for the area just by the museum. And and the council was doing more tests, the district council was doing more tests, and we haven't heard back about what those results said. I need to chase that up. We hope to have it by Friday last week, but we haven't heard back. So they're trying to find
out. Maybe it's a question to ask on Thursday at the update on the sewage works.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be discussing that there. What else have we got? John, there's a lot of stuff in here I don't want to talk about. The general election results. Can you remember, just a highlight for what you noticed, the local voting patterns here in Whangaroa?
I can remember that 56% of us didn't vote for the current government.
56%?
So 56% of us voted for the previous government, yeah.
I'd say that's a small number for this is meant to be a left-wing area. What I noticed was one pattern that was returned to voting in the town hall. Traditionally, it's been one-third of the votes go to the Greens, a third to Labour and a third to National.
Yeah, well, on the initial results, it was 27% to National, 25% to Green, and 24% to Labour, so it was pretty much a three-way split.
Yeah, that's normally what we have. We didn't have it 3 years ago. The walkway was closed for estuary seawall repairs. That's the one. It's opened again, down between the bridge to Papahua and the jetty.
Yeah, it keeps opening and closing. Sometimes it's open and sometimes it's closed.
Oh, is that right? Well, okay.
I've not worked out why they keep coming back to do odd bits.
Yesterday it was open. That's all I can tell you. What else have we got? Lots of articles here about touristy things for Raglan. Changes made to Raglan Freedom camping areas. So the areas you cannot camp have been extended. And what are we going to say? I can't list them all off the top of my head, John. How do people find out?
They're relatively small areas. Probably look on the council's website or go to the information office.
I know the community house used to have a copy of the maps for people to look at, but now they'll be changed. I'm not
probably
sure where they're at.
The more interesting is whether they actually enforce their rules. As we were discussing earlier, they've got masses of rules and they rarely enforce most of them.
So they've said that they've hired two staff
for the summer period.
For the summer period, which means
they haven't defined yet, as far as I know.
Well, anyway, they're going to because they've got two staff, they can make sure they cover the weekends as well, which will be the particularly busy times out here in Raglan. They're also getting two Freedom Camping ambassadors just to educate people. So they are certainly making an effort. Earthworks contractor cops $110,000 fine for Raglan Harbour discharge.
This was from years ago when they started doing rangitahi.
Was it 2017 or 18?
One of those.
I remember that day that happened. I was walking across the bridge to Papahua and I looked down at the water and I was like, this is not right. This is not good. And the owner of the company had the cheek to say that nothing had gone wrong and they'd done everything they should and that it was all been... And he basically threatened the regional council with legal action. And maybe that's why it's taken 5 years to get to this point.
Yep, it's not as long as it's taken to get the closed-circuit television cameras, which have been talked about for a long time, and to get the civil defence plan, which we're promised is going to be out by Christmas, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, well, let's not get sidetracked. I'm trying to find the name of this company. Pemberton, General Manager Mark Burnham. He described the prosecutions from Regional Council as unsubstantiated and frivolous, which was obviously wrong. He's been fined $110,000, and everyone in Raglan who saw the water around that week knew that that was wrong. I have words for him that I can't say on the radio. Moving on. Have we got much else to talk about, John? Because we're pretty much into stuff we talked about like 2 weeks ago.
We have got to 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, I think we've covered most of the things. Probably not covered them too well because we weren't well organised because we only started doing this work yesterday.
And there's no time to do it properly anyway.
An email got lost, which didn't help.
Yeah, I've had lots of technical problems in the last 24 hours. It's not been very reassuring. But thank you for all the work you do for me, John, because this I bring John in because he's kept on top of these issues, and I just get to ask questions, and we get some get
but
some
you
info
and I
from
are
that.
You're now the experts on these.
I don't feel like an expert. Because we went through those headlines, I didn't remember a lot of them.
Well, I should say to the extent that anybody's an expert.
Yeah, fair enough. But
which
also,
is a bit worrying.
What comes out of that is the amount of the deaths and accidents on our roads and in the water all through the year, but especially around summer. We've got regional council paying for ads on the morning show at the moment to remind people about being safe in the water. And I don't think we can repeat that message enough. Take it easy out there, folks. And if you see someone in town at the boat ramp, it looks like they don't know what they're doing, maybe have a quiet word with them. I hardly ever go out to watch boats come in at Manu Bay, but even in the little amount of time I've done that, I've seen silly things happening out there.
Yep. And, of course, that's why the council pays for lifeguards, because it's quite a dangerous beach to swim off as well as boat off.
Yeah.
So, it's a good idea to swim where the lifeguards are when the lifeguards are there rather than elsewhere.
Yeah.
You might get caught in a rip.
Yes, for visitors to our town, the not only the rips, but the sand moves around so much that you could be walking out and suddenly you're in a hole and you get swept out. So it's not very safe. Best to take all the advice that you get given. And especially, just don't go fishing at Papa Nui Point anymore, please.
But people do.
Yeah.
We'll carry on with this next year.
Well, you think we're going to be, this time next year, we're going to be talking about the same things, aren't we?
Well, as I say, you look back in papers past and going back way into it. I think it started in the 1920s reporting such things, but that's when people started coming here in large numbers.
Yeah. And they were talking about this sort of stuff then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you for coming in. Folks, it's the end of the show for the day. Hope you enjoyed it, and I will be back again tomorrow morning.